1963, the year I was born, by the way. Wow. Anyway, back in 63, one of America's greatest pastors, Martin Luther King, addressed an audience of over 300,000 people. And in that speech, he said, "I have a dream." He said, "My friends, although we face difficulties today and tomorrow, I have a dream that one day this nation will live out its creed that all men are created equal." He said, "I have a dream that one day my four little children will live in a nation where they are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream." You see, that speech reflected Martin Luther King's passion that people would view, treat, and accept people as God does. What a passion that is. Friends, can I tell you that your passion is a very powerful force? What you are passionate about can quickly change into a force that can change your life. And when we align our passions with God's passions, our future can be dynamically changed. So, as a Christian, what is your passion? And more importantly, does your passion align with the passions of God? There are certain qualities, if included and lived out, can help you and I to align our passions with God's passions. These qualities can change your life. These qualities can change your marriage. These qualities can change your family. These qualities can change our church. In short, these qualities can change the world as you know it. And the Apostle Paul discusses a few of these qualities in a letter that he wrote to believers in the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, that's actually on page 1039 in the Bibles in front of you, I'm going to begin sharing in verse 17. 1039 in the Bibles in front of you, Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 17. The apostle writes, "And he came," Jesus came, "and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access," that is, those that are far and those that are near, "we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Today, I want to share with you what I believe are at least three passions that God has for me and that God has for you. Beginning with this, God has a passion that we would all become the people of God. The people of God. In verse 19, Paul said, "Now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now, there are many different ideas that describe the family of God. Several ideas that I want to share with you this morning. Beginning with this, God's people, his church, should be a spiritual family. Miss Carolyn wrote that she thanks the Lord for her spiritual family. Now, At times, it may seem like the church is going downhill. The world would have you think that the church is irrelevant. The world would have you think that the church appears to be on the way out. But I want to tell you that since God views us as his spiritual family, we ain't going nowhere. Amen. Has anybody ever heard of a clinker brick? I didn't think so, and neither did I before this week. A clinker brick is a brick that comes out of the furnace abnormal and deformed. And I read about a church in New York that was looking to send a message. And so they built their building out of these deformed, misshapen clinker bricks. The church family was looking to send a message to its community, so they built the whole building with imperfect, rejected bricks. So what was it that this church family was trying to tell their community? They were admitting to the whole community that they were all clinker bricks. They were admitting to their family that they're all sinners, that they're all imperfect people, that every one of us are filled with shortcomings. But through Jesus Christ, we are becoming living stones that Christ Jesus builds into his church. Friends, let us vow this morning that as his spiritual family, you and I would include everyone who wants to be a part of the household of God through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Here's a second idea that the Bible speaks about God's people. In the family, God's people should offer others a safe place. A safe place. In Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the Bible says, whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. See, when the family of God meets in the house of God, we ought to feel safe. Not only from physical harm, but also safe to share our hurts with one another, our trials with one another, our sins with one another, our victories with one another, all without fear of being judged, all without fear of being criticized or frowned upon. I mean, if I can't tell you about my times of trials, who can I tell? Friend, if I can't draw strength from you during my times of weakness, who am I going to talk to? I need my family. Now, there's a third idea that describes the people of God, and that is that God's people should offer to others a supportive place. Now, there's probably no greater illustration of how church families should support their leaders than what we find in the Bible in Exodus chapter 17. I want to share it with you. In verse 8, we read, now Amalek, who has always been the enemy of God's people, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, his commander, choose us some men and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron, his brother, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek, the enemy, prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. And so they took a stone and they put it up under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and all of his people. I'm so thankful for a supportive spiritual family. You see, God calls his family to do all in their power to encourage one another. Are you encouraging your brother or sister in Christ? He calls all of us to do all in our power to equip one another so that we can defeat our spiritual enemies. And there are many. But I got to tell you, there are some times when teachers or leaders become a little weary. They become a little weary, and when that happens, it's up to those that they lead or those that they teach to make sure that they support them with faithful attendance. To make sure that you support your leaders and your teachers with encouragement. To make sure that you support your leaders and teachers with prayer. Oh, friends, they need it so much. And you know, life can be a great big challenge. As I look about to every one of you, I can just about spell out something that's going on in each and every life here where life has been a challenge lately. And you need support from your spiritual family. And when God's people join together in a family like the one that we enjoy, then we form this safe place, we form this supportive place where we can all grow and mature in the Lord Jesus. We need to make sure that we're offering others a supportive place. But we also need to make sure that we offer others a place to belong. There's just something about Bethel Baptist Church that I've heard time and time again where people just say, I just felt like I belonged there. I just felt like I belonged there. I remember the last and actually the only time that I ever played golf with my stepson, Michael. Now, what you need to know about Michael is Michael is a great golfer. He was on the Shoals Christian golf team that won the state 4 times in a row. And then he went on to have a UNA scholarship on the golf team. And I'm telling you what, Michael is a great golfer. So what business I had playing him, I don't know. Anyway, here I go. I'm ready to tee off. And I lined up, and I smacked it as hard as I could, and I immediately lost sight of my golf ball. Well, since I normally hit it in the trees, that's exactly where I headed. Amen. I went ahead in the trees, and while I'm looking for my golf ball, I hear Michael's voice saying, hey, here it is. And there he stood in the middle of the fairway. I said, are you sure that's my ball? He said, yeah, it's your ball. See, I was looking in the wrong place. I was looking where my ball usually went and was surprised to find out that the thing went where it belonged. Now, that's interesting because when it comes to church, you may not have to go to church to get saved, but if you're saved, there ain't no place you'd rather be than with your church family. Amen. So I pray, friend, that you are offered, that you feel that you are offered a place where you belong. Because as a believer in Christ Jesus, you belong here. And as we become the people of God, let's make sure that we're the family of God that really makes a difference in people's lives. But there is a second passion, not just being the people of God, but also God has a passion that you and I would follow the process of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, Paul mentions this process. And it's a process that we should all follow. It's the way that Jesus taught us. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, let me share it with you. Beginning in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can I tell you that leaders are basically servant equippers? Leaders ain't the boss. Leaders aren't supervisors. Leaders are nothing more than servant equippers. But notice also that every single believer is called to grow individually. Notice what Paul said in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So not only are leaders servant equippers, every believer is called to individually grow. That is why Wednesdays are such a big deal here. Because you can't grow unless you're sitting under the teaching of the Word of God. Unless you're spending time Monday through Saturday and even on Sunday growing in the Word of God. Friend, I want to encourage you to grow in your spiritual life. But not only those things, finally, Paul said that the whole church, the entire church, is to be actively serving the Lord. In verse 16, Paul said, from whom the whole body, joined in it together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Leaders are just servant equippers. Every believer should be growing. And the whole body of Christ, the entire church, should be actively serving the Lord in some capacity. Now, there are many areas in life that involve a process. Think about the construction of a home. If you're going to build a home, the first thing you got to do is get some excavation equipment in there, and you got to start doing some dirt work, amen? After that, you got to get some footers dug, right? You got to pour the concrete. You got to get that foundation laid. Before you even do that, though, you've got to actually put in the plumbing. Then you got to pour the concrete. Then you got to frame the thing up. Then you got to put a roof on it. And if you're lucky, you'll get a garage door at some point. Amen? That's an inside joke. Anyway, Jesus also shares a process. He shares a process for how we are to develop his disciples. In Matthew 4:19, he outlines a three-step process for developing his disciples. In Matthew 4, I'm going to go actually to 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And here it comes. Then he said to them, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus said, follow me. What he's describing there is an interactive personal experience that you ought to have with Jesus. Following Jesus. Second, he said, and I will make you. That describes this progressive development. You can't stay a baby and follow Jesus for the rest of your life. Follow me, and I will make you, he said. Jesus was leading them to develop their prayer life, to develop their witnessing skills, to develop their obedience to God, and he then would make them who they would become. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. That describes us being productive. God's not just satisfied with us just coming to him. God's not satisfied with us just going to church. He wants us to become productive vessels, productive instruments that grow the kingdom of heaven. Be productive. That's the three outline steps right there. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so our process for becoming and creating disciples basically follows the same three key words. Make sure that we know Christ. Make sure that we're growing in Christ. But then ultimately, make sure we're going for Christ. Make sure you're going for Christ. So where are you in the process? Have you come to Christ yet? Today's your day, if so, if you need to. Are you growing in Christ? I pray that you're not satisfied with what little tidbit you get on a Sunday morning, but that you're hungry for more of the Word of God every day of your life, certainly on Sunday mornings and on Wednesdays. But where are you when it comes to going for Christ? I mentioned to you earlier that we have a need for a children's leader. The Christians in Action Children's Ministry Leader. And I mentioned to you that I've been praying for you. Maybe not by name, but I've been praying for you. Praying that it might be you who already knows Christ, you're already growing in Christ, but now you're ready to take it to the next level and go into ministry for Christ. It's very important, and I pray that you will consider that this morning. See, a church is called to win lost souls. There's no doubt about that. But we're also called to make disciples. And that involves a process, and we happen to start them very young here at Bethel. Amen. So it's God's passion that you become the person of God. It's also God's passion that we follow the process of Jesus Christ. But there's a third passion that Jesus has for every one of us, and that is that we fulfill the purposes of God. That we fulfill the purposes of God. The purpose of the church, I believe, is stated in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, in whom the whole building is fitted together, grows together in the holy temple of the Lord. Growing together. You see, God's purpose is bigger than people. We see an example of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May not be charged among them, because the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. See, Paul was forsaken by every one of his friends. He was left all alone, but still he had his God-given purpose, and he would not neglect that. Why? Because God's purpose is bigger than any person. But God's purpose is also bigger than a place. We see that this in the example of Jeremiah in verse 20, chapter 29, where the Bible says, for I know the plans that I think toward you, says the Lord, plans of peace, not of evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. God's purpose is bigger than any place. What you got to know is that the Israelite people were being held captive in Babylon at that time. Their hope was hopeless, but still they had their God-given purpose. And they recognize that their purpose was bigger than any place. But God's purpose is also bigger than any of our problems. The greatest example of this is found in Jesus' life. Consider this. When Jesus was in that garden and he asked the Father, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away. Take my problems away. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's a hard prayer to pray. See, Jesus went through the horrific difficulty all the way to the cross, but he never lost sight of his God-given purpose. Finally, God's purpose is also not measured by proportions. It's not about the size. It's about the purpose. See, sometimes we get tempted to think that we're not successful because things aren't as big as we think they should be. We get discouraged because we think that somebody else is doing it better than we are, or we're not doing it as well as somebody else is. But when we look at 1 Samuel 16, we find the prophet Samuel went to Jesse's house looking for the new king of Israel. And you remember what happened there. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And so it was when they came, that they looked at his first son, Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so Jesse called the next son, Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And then Jesse made Shammah pass by, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, well, there remains yet one, the youngest. There he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And so he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, that is, he was healthy looking. He had bright eyes, he was good looking. Made me think of you, brother. Amen. That's my job. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. When God looks for success, hear me, church. When God looks for success, he ain't looking for the size of it. When God looks for success, he's not looking at the barriers that it faces. He's not looking for the place that it's located. He's not even looking at the people in it. He looks to see if his purpose is being fulfilled there. So what are God's purposes for the church? Again, in verse 21 of chapter 2, in whom the whole building is fitted together, grows into the holy temple of the Lord. Where is Rhett and Cade still here? Y'all got a good voice going up here. Jesus Christ, and becoming a part of what God is doing here at Bethel. And that's great news. But you also need to know that God wants you to follow the process that Christ Jesus set for every one of us. You can resolve that today by saying, you know what, I've had it. I'm going to start growing in my faith. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to start growing in my faith. I'm going to let Jesus make me into a fisher of men. Thirdly, I can tell you for sure that God wants to fulfill his purposes, listen to this word, in the church. He wants to fulfill his purposes in the church. And you can determine today, friend, that you are going to find your place to serve right here in the family of God at Bethany. So maybe you're already part of God's family. Maybe you're already part of what God is doing here. Can I just say, you need to be fulfilling God's purpose. Fulfilling God's purpose for your life by fulfilling what God wants to do in and through you. Maybe this is you today. We're just missing one link. If we had that one link, then perhaps God would be starting to fulfill his purposes, all of his purposes for our church. Because you can't do it from the fringe. You can't do it from the outside looking in. You've got to be involved. You've got to be an instrumental link in the chain. So I want to encourage you today, if you don't, I want to encourage you to know Christ. I want to encourage you today, that if you're not, to start growing in Christ. But if you're already in a relationship and you're already growing with him, I want you to take the next step of going for Christ. Becoming an instrumental part of the purposes of God right where you are, right here, today. I've been praying for you this week that God would speak to your heart, you would speak to your mind, that God would encourage you to make a decision to go for Christ. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we are given the opportunity to make a decision. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you, Lord, let today be the period at the end of that sentence. Lord, let them know you today. Lord, let them come forward during this decision time. And Lord, I will share from your word how they can come into a relationship with Jesus. Father, I pray that, Lord, we not be satisfied just belonging to you, but growing our relationship with you. Lord, we have ample opportunities for discipleship here. And Lord, I pray that everyone, that every link in the chain would take advantage of the divine opportunities that are given for them. But Lord, if they're knowing Christ and they're growing in Christ, I pray they would take the next step. That's to go for Christ. To go into ministry. To go serving him in some capacity. Maybe they feel like, you know what? I don't think I can take all that on. But maybe I can be a helper. Maybe I can assist. Whatever it is, Father, I pray that you would lead each one who you've spoken to this morning to make a call. To make a decision. To take the next step in the process. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you're already doing. But we want all of your purposes to be fulfilled in the body of Christ here. So Lord, help us to do that as we submit to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen. Amen. Amen.